Your speaker in this lesson is Larry Acuff.
We're going to be looking, at building a life. And as you and I think about building and building a life, I guess naturally I am prejudiced. I don't mind telling you this. But I had an aunt. Her name was Rosalie Walden. Of course, we never called her Rosalie. We called her Rosie. I mean, that was Aunt Rosie. Aunt Rosie did not have an easy life. She basically took care of my grandparents, her mom and dad. But her husband committed suicide while she was pregnant with her third child. She had a hard time. It was a hard life. She didn't have a lot of income. My grandparents didn't have a lot of income. And it fell to my Aunt Rosie to take care of them, to rear her three children, two of which are deceased now. But Aunt Rosie not only had to experience difficulties in life in terms of having the right kind of an income, she had to work. She worked very hard. She worked at Memorial Hospital in Chattanooga, Tennessee. At some point, I do not remember exactly now when this was, but she had breast cancer, had to have her breast removed. Then, again, after she had retired from her work, she was this kind of life. In spite of all of that, she was a happy individual. I never saw my Aunt Rosie. She never complained. She never griped. She never said, "Oh, woe is me, why have I been left in this condition?" She always had this upbeat spirit and upbeat attitude, and it didn't matter what happened. She ran off highway up in Red Bay or out toward Soddy Daisy, Tennessee. She ran off the road. I don't know what happened, but she ran her car off the road down into a rather steep ditch. I said, "Aunt Rosie, what'd you do?" She said, "Well, I just got up on the road and hitchhiked into Red Bank." Well, now, you know, this was her attitude. Her attitude was, "Well, that happened. Now let's get on with something else." And it was the kind of a spirit in which it did not matter what took place in her life, she enjoyed every day. She started this program of the Acuff Widows and the Acuff Women. As she retired, she and some other aunts, they would go to Bojangles one morning out of the week. The Chattanooga television station, I forget which one it was, but they learned about that and went out and they did a video and taped these women out there, widows and these women who came together. Well, Aunt Rosie was kind of the center point of all that. Now, I'm telling you this for one reason, and that is that life can be lived regardless of what takes place in our life. That you and I can enjoy a wonderful life regardless of what takes place. See, it's not circumstances that affect us, it is our mind. So we are building a life. And I believe that these 12 columns, these 12 supports that we have in our life. Jesus said in John 10, verse 10, Jesus said, "I am come that they might have life and they might have it more abundantly." In John chapter number 10, Jesus said, the devil, what is he endeavoring to do? The devil wants to steal your life from you. And so when you and I realize that he's going to use everything within his power, that he's going to make you depressed, that he is trying to defeat you. He is trying to destroy you. He is trying to depress you. And when you can understand that, and Jesus said, "But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly." And so that's what we are endeavoring to do as we look at these columns. We looked first at courage. We looked at integrity. We looked at the perseverance that we needed to persevere. We looked at wisdom. Now these are the first four items that we have examined in this series of lessons. In the book of John chapter number 20, you'll remember the Bible said many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of His disciples, but these are written that you might have life. And so when you and I see the works of Jesus Christ, I think of the humanity of Jesus. You know, we know His divine nature. We know that He was the divine Son of God, that He left the portals of heaven to come to this earth. But He did that in order that we might have life. And now, tonight, we're going to be looking at responsibility. Next Sunday night, we're going to be looking at humor. You know, it's amazing. The Bible tells us that a cheery heart doeth good like a medicine. Well, if it does, let's find out what it is. We're going to be looking at flexibility. How flexible are you? Some folks are very rigid. In one way they say, well, I'm biblical. I don't turn aside to the right hand or to the left. Well, that's okay. But there are some times when we need to be flexible. We're going to be looking at being patient. Lord, I pray for patience and I want it right now. Confidence. We need this concept. Do we have confidence? As you and I look at a good health, if you don't feel good, you're not going to enjoy life. Some folks get up in the morning and they say, good morning, Lord. Others get up in the morning and say, good Lord, it's morning. And so, you look at that, achievement. You and I are trying, achievement is something that builds us up. And then, of course, we're going to be looking at strength. So these are the ones that you can look at. We've got 7 more of them to go. You may be saying, well, I'll be glad you get through with them. Well, just be patient. In 7 weeks or so, we will be through with them. But these will help us build a life that you and I can get up every day. We can get up every morning with enthusiasm and zeal and go about our activities in such a way that we can accomplish the things that we desire to accomplish. We're going to be looking tonight at responsibility. Now, there are a couple of areas, and I had to decide, I debated, and so I just kind of combined them together, I guess. When you look at the meaning of responsibility, we come up with this. It is the quality or state of being responsible as, look at these items, moral, legal, or mental. Now, here's the word, this word accountability. When you put accountability with responsibility. Now, someone has kind of made a little a formula, I guess. Opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. Now, you think about that. Opportunity plus ability equals responsibility. Now, I had kind of a difficult time. I'm going to give my wife credit. She helped me out this sermon. She didn't write it. Kind of like the boy one time, his dad's working on a sermon, and the little boy said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm working on my sermon. And he said, well, how do you know what to write? He said, well, God tells me what to. He said, well, how come you keep marking it out then, and so when you and I look at this, reliability and trustworthiness, and what I've tried to do in this series of sermons, I have tried to select Bible characters that I believe will reflect these particular qualities that we're trying to look at. We talked about Solomon, and I think as you and I, naturally, we look at the wisdom of Solomon. And you and I, for an example, we look at all of these concepts of integrity, and we look at wisdom, or we look at courage, and we see these Bible characters. When I think of responsibility, you and I could almost go through the book of Hebrews chapter number 11, because each one of these men, they had an opportunity, they had an ability, and they made that a responsibility. So when you and I look at this, here is the one that I have chosen to use this evening. Now, you may recognize this from just the picture, but don't worry if you do not, because I'm going to tell you who it is. It's Rahab the harlot. Now, somebody says, how does Rahab the harlot, how does that fit in with responsibility? You know, one of the interesting things that I found out in studying about Rahab, and that is, do you know that most of the time when her name is mentioned, that word harlot is mentioned with her as an identifying word. Some have suggested that Rahab, and that you can find different concepts if you're searching the Scriptures to try to come up with some. Why is it that this woman, this harlot, how is it that this lady fit in to the plan of God? You know, it's interesting because we have this idea, well, everybody's got to be perfect. Have you ever thought about that? Now, when you look at, and you go back to the 12 apostles, and you look at these 12 men whom the Lord selected, you and I think that surely God, in all His wisdom and judgment, would have selected the most, men who wouldn't make mistakes. I mean, James and John, they argued with each other who's going to be the greatest. Peter was always running ahead of himself. Matthew was a tax collector. Judas betrayed him. Thomas doubted him. And so our idea is that, God selected through His Son Jesus. These were the 12 apostles that He selected to take the message of salvation to the world. Now, I want to simply ask us this. Do you and I have our difficulties? Are there things in which they're not right in our lives? Surely they are. But God can still use us as His children to further His kingdom and His cause. Recognizing. See, God takes our weaknesses and He can make strengths out of those weaknesses. Here's Rahab. Three reasons I want you to look at. Number one, she hid the men. She hid the men. See, God selected Rahab. Because she would be used. And I think so many times you and I think, well, God wouldn't select me. God wouldn't use me. But He will. You know, you look at this. I mean, historians say that she may have been a what was referred to as a temple prostitute. Because in many of the areas, if you'll remember, that there were those individuals, and especially when you come into the New Testament and you find the temple of Diana in the city of Ephesus, and that Diana, she was the god of fertility, and so it was not uncommon to find prostitution very simple or very easily around those areas. But you see, she did not have to do what she did. I mean, those men came in, she could have said, how many of you have thought this? Don't involve me. I don't want to get involved in this. Well, why not? See, Rahab could have said, I don't want to get involved in this. Go to the next house. Go to the next door. And I don't have time tonight to go through the instances that you and I have seen in life where individuals said, I do not want to be involved. Well, the Bible says, 1 Corinthians 15:58, therefore be you steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here's something I like about her. She kept her word. If you have a copy of the Old Testament, turn back with me to the book of Joshua. And go to the second chapter of Joshua, and I want you to look at verse number 14 and look at the statement that was made to her by these men. Now look at what they said, verse number 14. And the men answered her, our life for yours. We're going to make a trade out. But they put a door there. And that little door is if ye utter not this our business. Now, there are some folk can't keep their mouth shut. They just got to reveal whatever they know. Now, you think about, what was it that motivated her, number one, to hide the men in the first place, number two, to keep her mouth shut, to not utter these things? I'll tell you what it was. It was what she had seen regarding the work of God of other nations around that area. See, she had heard. I mean, news had traveled. Here's what God has done. So here was this person. here was this lady who knew what God had done. And so when these men came to her, she was willing to hide them. And not only that, but she did not tell. She kept her mouth shut. It takes responsibility to do that. Now the third thing, she bound the scarlet lion in the wood. You know, she could have said, well, I'm not sure about these fellows, and they told her. They said, you put this in the window, and therefore when the city of Jericho is destroyed, you and your family will not be destroyed with it. And then you and I know that in the genealogy of our Lord Jesus Christ, Rahab the harlot is included in that genealogy. I believe she is an individual of responsibility. And so when you and I look at this, I simply ask the question, why being responsible is important. You see, some folks just don't have any responsibility about it. I mean, it's kind of a, and I'll get to some of that in a few minutes, but let me give you a few reasons here. Number one, it defines our character. Now, I want you to think about it. In the book of 2 Samuel, chapter number 24, and verse number 24, see, this defined the character of David. David, he is the anointed king of Israel. David has fought Saul. He has won the victory. He is the king. Here is a man that they're going to have to look up to this man. He goes to make a sacrifice to God, and the place where he goes to make that sacrifice said, hey man, let me tell you, I'm going to give this to you. David said, no, you're not. No. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter number 24, and in verse number 24, and the king said unto Araunah, nay, but I will surely buy it of thee at a price. Neither will I offer burnt offering unto the Lord my God of that which doth cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. David was not looking for a handout. You can have it, David. You're a man of God. David said, no, sir. No. See, I have a responsibility, and that defines the character. You see, a person says, listen, if I am responsible. You know, so many times, folks in the body of Christ, so many times people out here in the world, they're not responsible in the sense that they want to get by on easy street. Brother Ira North, you folks know that he was my mentor, and I love Brother Ira North, and I understand what he's saying in this. But I remember one time he said, there's this song we sing, will there be any stars in my crown, will there be any stars in my crown? And I remember hearing Brother North say one time, let me tell you, brother, Brother North, I wish that you folks could have known that man. I mean, he was just phenomenal to me. But he said, brother, you can have the stars all, just let me have that crown. Well, you know what we want to do is we want to get that crown. That's what Paul said in 2 Timothy chapter 4. He said, there is laid up for me a crown of heaven. Now, let me back down a little bit. Because there are some folks who have the idea, if I can just slip in there with as little. Now, I want you folks to help me do something. You help me do something. You help me encourage others in this congregation who do not come on Sunday night to the assembly. Or they don't come on Wednesday night. Now, you can give them a call and say, man, that sermon Sunday night was so phenomenal. Well, maybe I'll say it that way. And you know why? Because there are some folks, and you're not a part of that group, I know, but there are some folks, and their idea is, do I have to come on Sunday night and Wednesday night? Not if you want to go to hell. See, but it's the attitude. It's the idea. The idea is, how little can I do in order to get to heaven? See, it defines character. See, responsibility is character. That you and I, that I, Larry Acuff, wants to carry his weight. And I'm sure you do as well. And so in whatever the task may be, I want to carry my weight. Now, I have to admit sometimes I don't carry my weight on some things. I'm sorry. There's a picture somewhere, Jesse, I think Jesse Austin may have it. And I've paid Jesse quite a sum of money not to reveal that picture. But we were digging out here one day. Jerry, I think you might have been here out there that day too. And they were taking a picture. And now I'll have to be, I mean, I was just kind of standing on the shovel. I wasn't doing much digging. I appreciate those who did. But see, all of us, and whatever the activity may be, I want to carry my weight. That's what David said. David said, I want to carry my weight. I'm not going to do anything. It doesn't cost me anything. Oh no. That's not me. And so when you and I look at responsibility, it defines our character. Not only that, there we go. It determines our course. Now think about this. In the book of Joshua chapter 14 verse number 12, see, responsibility, and you've got to go back to the book of Numbers. And you go back to the 12 spies who spied out the land. And two of those men, Joshua and Caleb, these two men came back and they said, we can take the land. 10 of the 12 said, we cannot do it. We can't take this land. And so what happened is that Joshua and Caleb came back and they said, we can take the, yes, there are giants in the land. But there are grapes in that land, and as some of them said, we're like grasshoppers. They said, no, we can go in and take it. But here's what happened. For 40-something years, they wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And after they go into the land of Canaan, and in Joshua chapter number 14, we find that here Caleb is 85 years of age. And because of his leadership, 40 years before, all of those years, all of that 40 years, they wandered in the wilderness. Caleb was looking to that mountain. And now, when they have crossed the River Jordan, and they're on the other side, and they have defeated these cities of Jericho and Ai, and Joshua is getting ready to divide out the land among the tribes, and Caleb said, now therefore give me this mountain. He set the course. See, responsibility sets the course. I want to say something to these boys and girls. You go as far as you can go mentally or intellectually in school. Oh, well now, Brother Acuff, I think I'm going to quit 11th grade and take my GED. Don't do that. Now, it's great that the GED is available and there are a lot of folks who have taken it and been very successful in life. I'm not, but I'm going to tell you, you need to go. And when you get out, you make some determination as to what you can accomplish with your ability in life, and then you don't stop until you do that. See, that's Caleb. That's responsibility. I am taking the responsibility. Well, now, Brother Acuff, if you just knew what I have put up with at home. Yeah? Well, now, Brother Acuff, you know, our family, we're awful poor. Y'all know about the young lady up here in Marietta somewhere who finished school and was homeless and yet graduated, she and her sister, with a 4.0. How do you do that? She took a flashlight and studied at night in a homeless shelter. That's how you do it. And so when I look at Caleb, he's one of my favorite Bible characters. See, responsibility determines our course. Now, in 2 Kings chapter 22, I think of Josiah. And the Bible says that Josiah was 8 years old, became king, and the Bible says he turned not aside to the right hand or to the left hand. He kept that steady course. I'm challenging all of us. Let's keep that steady course. You know what? We've got a great congregation here at Lithia Springs. You don't see it as well because you're here every week. And I go to congregations and I'm thankful for these opportunities and I'm blessed to be able to go and I see these guys, but I'm going to tell you something. Lithia Springs is one of the finest congregations you'll ever find. We are active. Our folks love each other. We're dedicated. We've got an eldership that stands on the truth and the Bible, and we're not going to turn aside to the right hand or to the left. We're not going to do things and start things and incorporate things that would violate New Testament principles. And so when you and I look at our responsibility, it determines our course. It dictates our confidence. Why being responsible is important? Because it gives us confidence. Let me give you an example. Matthew 25:14-30. Don't have time to go through every bit of this. But you remember it is the 5-talent man, 2-talent man, 1-talent man. Notice this, that the 5-talent man gained 5 more, 2-talent gained 2 more. The 1-talent man said this, "I was afraid." He didn't have any confidence. He didn't have any confidence. See, confidence comes from experience. Confidence comes from doing right. Please pardon the personal illustration, but I can remember when I learned how to fly an airplane. And I had that instructor with me. And one day he said to me, it was a January, cold January day in Michigan, but the sky was blue and the air was crisp. And we had been flying about 2 hours. And he said, he looked at me and he said, "Do you want to fly this thing by yourself?" I said, "Yes, sir." He said, "You let me out down here." I landed on that runway, and I let him out. Now then, it's my job to get that plane back in the air and back without nosing down somewhere. Control tower, I told the control tower, I said, "This 35 Lima, taxi for takeoff." And they sent me, they told me to go to a different runway and I couldn't see it because it was covered with snow and ice. And I told them, I said, "Look, you're going to have to guide me out there because I can't see the runway markers." They did. I took off and you're required to do 3 touch and goes. Now what that simply means, you just touch down, go back up. And you're required in order to be signed off to solo, you're required to do 3 of them. But you know what I did? I didn't do 3. I did more than that. I said, I want to make sure. I did some more. But you want to tell you why? What caused all of that? Confidence that I could do it. See, I had done that so many times. I do not know how. Now, there were times it wasn't all that great. I bounced one day. And when we bounced, and that's not pleasant. You get in a little old airplane, and then you hit that thing on the runway, and it bounced. Man, I thought, woo. And I decided, well, man, I hit that throttle, and I pulled on back on that stick. I gotta get this thing up. Well, when I did, man, that plane started shaking like you wouldn't believe. And the instructor looked at me, and he said, I got it. Whoa, thank God for him. He told me, he said, "Look, Larry, let me tell you something. When you bounce, don't pull back on the stick because you don't have enough power." He said, you just push that power in, build up some airspeed, then you can pull out. Well, see, I had done that enough. I'd tried to land at Custer Airport one day. Well, it did land, but on the way making a final approach at Custer Airport, there was a landfill down there, and the heat from that landfill affects your aircraft. And as I'm going over that landfill, it was just like a hand reaches up and pulls you down. Well, recovered and landed safely. But here's the point. Here's what I'm trying to help us see tonight. The confidence and what I was able to do made it possible for me to do it. Now, when you read Matthew 25, this man sold, this man buried his talent. Why? He didn't have confidence. He said, I was afraid. Now, you and I can't be afraid. We put our trust, we put our faith, and we put our confidence in God. Now then, what hinders responsibility? Well, some folks are rebellious. You can't tell me what to do. I don't care what you say. You're not going to tell me what to do. Slothfulness. Probably another word might be better, called lazy. Some folks are lazy. It's talking about the old boy. Y'all remember about the old boy? He just didn't have nothing to eat. They were going to take him to the cemetery, and he was still, they were going to bury that old boy alive. And they had him in a cart, and they were wheeling him out. And somebody saw him and said, well, he said he's so lazy he won't work. We're just going to take him out here and dump him out. The fellow said, I hate to see you do that. He said, I'll give him a bushel of corn. And the old boy looked up from where he was laying. He said, is it shucked? The guy said, no. He said, move on, boys. He's lazy. Fear of loss. You see, we hang on to certain things over here because we're afraid if we lose that. Y'all remember the story of the little boy who had his hand in his mother's antique vase and he couldn't get it out and his mother put soap and everything trying to get his hand out of that vase and she couldn't, so finally she wrapped it with a towel and got a hammer and broke that vase, and when she did, and his hand was inside that vase just like this. She said, son, has your hand been in that vase like that all the time? He said, yes, ma'am. Well, she said, if you had just opened it up, your hand would have come out of there. Why wouldn't you open it up? He said, I was afraid I'd lose my penny. Do we have our hand in the vase? You're seeing, folks, I mean, it's that way with the world. I have a hard time giving up the world. And untrustworthiness and pride. These are things that hinder responsibility. Now, here are signs of a lack of responsibility. Number one. There we go. Pray over it, brothers. Indulge our fleshly carnal desires. See, when you look at a lack of, you will find someone who indulges their fleshly carnal desires. Harm our finances and get us into debt. See, a person who does not have responsibility, they will spend more than they make. I mean, hey, if you make $1,000 a week or $750 or whatever it is, doesn't matter. Doesn't matter what you make.
Somebody said, well, now, Brother Acuff, if I made more money, I could do better. No, you wouldn't.
See, you and I must always learn to handle what God has given to us. See, so a lack of responsibility, it'll harm your finances and it'll put you in debt. It'll put you in trouble is basically what it's going to do. So, we perform poorly on the job. Don't give him. He ain't going to show up to do the job. Boy, do you know folks that you work with and you have worked with? And I'm going to tell you, they're always early. They're always there. It's not, what can I find to do today to keep me from having to go to work? That's an irresponsible person. And so they just perform poorly on the job. They develop slothful habits. Are you responsible? You know, we have so many opportunities here to do things. And so when you and I take those, when you and I, and you know what? Men, if I am supposed to be on the table and wait on the audience, I need to show up or call somebody and tell them I'm not going to be there. If I have signed up for a particular job and a particular work in the church, I need to fulfill that or let someone know. I know, and I won't call any names. I don't want to, you know, embarrass anybody. But there are some folks in this congregation whom I know, and they put their names out here on the list. And God bless them. I'm telling you, bless their heart. If their name's on that list, they will either be there or they'll give you a call and let you know why they're not there. That's great. You talk to Brother Aaron or you talk to Brother Gary about their youth work. They see that. That when a fellow says, I'm going to do this, or a lady says, I'm going to do this, then we need to do it. Waste time and energy. See, signs of a lack of responsibility. I'm going to stop. I'm not going to comment on that one. I'm guilty. You know, it's so easy to waste time, isn't it? Time is a commodity that can be used for good, or we can waste it and not accomplish anything. You've been patient tonight. You know, responsibility. Look, I'm going to do it. I am going to be responsible. You, if I say I will do something, you can depend on me to do it. If I'm not going to be able to do it, I will let you know I'm not going to be able to do it. Responsibility. If you're here tonight and you're not a Christian, we'd encourage you to obey the gospel. If you believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and you're willing tonight to change your life, say, you know what, I want to be safe from my sin. I'm going to turn from my sin. I'm going to confess Christ before men, and I'm going to be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. If you're subject to this invitation, we encourage you, pray for you to come right now.